today on More to Life, people pleaser problems. Always saying yes, even when you're burning out, will help you discover grace-filled ways to know when to say no. 877-573-7825. All of us want a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to Life. Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our homes.
Practical. Theology of the Body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with them.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today's show is titled People Pleaser Problems. We're talking about having a hard time saying no, setting boundaries, feeling like you always have to be there for everyone else, but should feel guilty for expecting anyone to be there for you. You know, I think that this is something that a lot of Christians struggle with, because we know that we're called to be generous to others. And we all, you know, want on some level at least to be like Christ and be that servant that He is. But we are also allowed to be taken care of as well. And that's not selfish.
No, and even, I have to say, when we want to be like Christ, we have to realize that there were times when Jesus went off by Himself to be with His Father, because He needed that time to be with His Father and recharge.
Well, and even at times when Mary anointed Jesus' feet,
yeah,
or He was at dinner and others were serving Him. You know, it's not that we are never allowed to ask for help or state our needs or even be assertive about certain things, but we can get in that place where we feel like it's wrong. And so we want to talk about how to find that balance between being appropriately generous and really responding to that call to serve with Christ, while at the same time not burning ourselves out or becoming doormats in the process. 877-573-7825. Do you ever feel like you're always giving in to others, but people have a harder time giving back to you? Have you ever got along with what somebody else wanted just to keep the peace, even though you knew it really wasn't best for you, or maybe for them? Do you sometimes wonder if people would still love you if you stopped doing so much for them, if you'd lose them, or they'd be angry with you, or reject you in some way? Do you struggle to say no, even when you really should, or feel resentful or burned out from doing so much for others, and just wished you could find a healthier balance? If so, give us a call. Let us help you find the cure for the disease to please. 877-573-7825.
Maybe you have someone in your life who you see is bending over backwards to make somebody or everybody happy all the time. And you see it's leading to something unhealthy for them, or their outright destruction. Maybe you have a friend who is in a relationship where they just give and give and give, and you see that they're being taken advantage of, being run down, beginning to think less and less of themselves. And you're worried that perhaps they're in a situation where it's not healthy for them because somebody's manipulating them or they're having their own issues right now.
You know, it's interesting you raised that issue. I was actually talking with a couple the other day, and the wife's main complaint was that her husband has a hard time saying no to anybody except her and the kids.
Oh, wow.
You know, he really is a good and faithful man. He wants to be, a servant. He loves to do charitable work. But he's so engaged at stuff in the church or serving, you know, his extended family or neighbors that he's not, he has a hard time being present to her and to the kids.
Ouch.
And so, you know, the big kind of argument between them is, you know, hey, you're you know, he's feeling like you're trying to stop me from being a good Christian man, and she's saying, you know, well, you need to not be focused so much on serving everybody else that you neglect us. And, you know, that's another example of that danger of people pleasing, because you work so hard to please everybody, you end up not pleasing anybody or not pleasing the people that are most important. So let's talk about it. You know, this is a hard thing to get right. How can we be appropriately generous and serve with Christ as God asks us to, while at the same time being respectful of the priorities in our life, making sure that those are properly ordered, making sure that we're able to take care of ourselves, making sure that we're bringing out the best in other people, and not, well, bringing out the worst by just doing everything for them all the time. This happens in parenting too, right? So sometimes,
you know, you're right.
You know, we want to be generous as parents to our kids, but then we forget to teach them how to give back to the family, you know, even from toddlerhood on. And so you end up raising a kid who's just a taker and is spoiled, not because you've necessarily even given them everything, but because you haven't really asked anything from them.
Yeah, that's interesting, and it's a very good point. And we've got a lot of kids out there, especially teenagers and young adults right now, who were kind of treated that way, especially during that time of the pandemic when everyone was home and everybody was worried about the future, and parents ended up really giving a lot, doing a lot, and not teaching a lot of skills. And now these kids are just entering a time in their lives where they really have to begin to step up and be responsible humans, and they really don't know how. And it's really becoming its own social issue entirely.
So today's show, titled People Pleaser Problems. Are you struggling with always saying yes, even when you're burning out or feel like maybe you should say no? We want to help you discover grace-filled ways to know when to say no and how to set those boundaries. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's theology of the body. And, you know, if you're wondering, you know, how can some highfalutin theology help me deal with this issue of people-pleasing? Well, great question, and you've come to the right place. So when St. John Paul was Pope, he asked himself a huge question. Basically, he said, Pope, if we looked at everything God's given us, creation, scripture, salvation, history, what universal principles could we discern about God's plan for human flourishing and healthy, holy relationships? And his answer to that reflection became this theology of the body.
Now, the theology of the body in this case makes it clear that authentic generosity doesn't mean running ourselves into the ground. St. John Paul reminds us that we're created for mutual self-giving. Relationships where all the people involved work for each other's good. Not in a tit-for-tat kind of way, but in a very holy and love-filled way.
Well, yeah, and St. John Paul reminded us that healthy human relationships are supposed to reflect the love that exists at the heart of the Trinity. Now, that sounds, you know, really like a high concept, but in truth, so Saint Bonaventure described the Trinity as a three-bucket water wheel. Each person, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, pouring himself out completely for the others, yet never running dry, because the other, quote-unquote, buckets keep filling each other up. So building the kingdom of God for us means making sure that our relationships reflect this dynamic.
God doesn't want anyone to feel like they're always having to give but never receive care themselves. That actually distorts the image of the Trinity that our relationships are meant to reveal.
You know, another important insight is that people pleasers often confuse working for love with working from love.
You know, when we work for love, as you're saying, Greg, we're really saying, I have to convince others to love me by always saying yes. But that's actually not generosity. That's fear. And it often keeps us from being truly loving, because real love means working for the ultimate good of another person. And feeling this way makes us too afraid of conflict to do what's actually best for the other.
But when we work from love, we're secure in our dignity as children of God and confirmed in our sense of our worth, right? And so we are confident that we deserve to be loved back. And so that frees us to be genuinely generous, not because we're afraid of rejection, but because we already know we're loved by God. And that's when our relationships start to mirror the love of the Trinity. So, you know, that sounds great in theory, but what does it look like in practice, and in your situation in particular? Let's talk it out. 877-573-7825. The show today titled People Pleaser Problems. Give us a call and tell us, do you ever feel like you are always giving to others, but no one's really giving back to you? Have you ever gone along with what somebody else wanted just to keep the peace, even though you knew it wasn't really best for you, or maybe even for them? Maybe you sometimes wonder if people would still want you around if you stopped doing so much for them, or you struggle to say no even when you really should. Let us help you find the cure for the disease to please. 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and then we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come to you and we ask you to help us know how to be genuinely, appropriately generous to others, following your example of giving all that we have to work for the ultimate good of every person in our lives. But help us to know that we also have the right to be taken care of. And that, as your servant St. John Paul reminded us, all of our relationships should be mutually self-giving, so that each person has the opportunity to be generous and work for each other's good and build each other up as a witness to the kind of life-giving love that flows from your own heart. Help us to know when and how to ask others for help, or when and how to express our needs in ways that still allow us to be sensitive to the needs of others. Help us to be able to create relationships that really reflect that Trinitarian love, where each person is working for the other's good, so that we can all give ourselves to each other without the fear of having to protect ourselves from each other. We ask all this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, people pleaser problems. Do you have a tendency to always say yes, even when maybe it's not in your best interest, or maybe even the other person's, even when you're burning out? We want to help you discover grace-filled ways to know when to say no. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Stephanie, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Ohio.
Stephanie, welcome to More to Life. How can we help you out today?
Hello there. Thank you. I just literally got in my car and Tuesday got back into my faith on Tuesday at noon at Mass. I have been not practicing like I should. But my son took his life on July 24th. And I'm sorry. It's very...
Oh, sweetheart. I am so sorry.
Thank you. And I am really struggling, but I went to therapy yesterday for my first time as well, and she diagnosed me as a grossly codependent person. But it has been crazy that I just got in the car to go see my father right now, and you all were on there talking about people pleasing, and my situation is I myself don't really know how to pray him to any kind of salvation, because he didn't believe like I raised him. He got away from it, and his wife, unfortunately, they separated and he couldn't handle it. He was 30 years old and he has a 2-year-old baby, and I never dreamed it was going to happen, but he took his life and it just happened. And all of the people around me have so many things that they tell me I should do, and I so need to set a boundary on how I can deal with this, because I don't even know how. And I have had so many people tell me what I should do and what I better do and what I have to do. And I don't even know that if, as a Catholic mother, if I can pray him to heaven if he didn't believe and he took his own life. I've listened to a couple things that have made me feel better about time and God doesn't know past from present, and that did give me some hope that he will come to him and Kyle will accept that. But I don't know how to set the boundaries. And I'm all the time telling people, yes, I'll do that, yes, I'll do that, when I know I won't. And I don't mean that.
Can you like, what are some of the things that they're telling you? I just help me understand a little bit better about
one little girl is so beautiful, and she's in the sisterhood. She's actually trying to be a sister, and she's so wonderful. And you know, she was so quick to say that my relationship with the man that I'm with, which isn't the right one for me, is a mortal sin. So I'm not living right. So therefore, I could never pray him to heaven. But I don't live with that man, and I'm like, oh God, I can't. And then, you know, even my own family, my stepmom, as he raised me and got me as to be a Catholic. I was raised that way, but my mother died when I was 8. I wasn't born into Catholic. So I've tried really hard, and it has become what I know I want to do. And I am back in Mass, and I'm better. I'm better in the 2 days. I am. It's amazing what I've seen God do in just these last couple of days. But I've got to learn to tell people what I need to do, and I really wish I knew what to do, but I don't.
Okay. Well, we've got some thoughts to share with you, but I want to, first of all, I want to thank you for the openness of your heart to the Holy Spirit in this incredibly painful time, for your willingness to bring all of this to God and to reach out to us today. You know, you have a beautiful heart, Stephanie, and I just want to say that we are with you in this grief, and we're going to add you and your son and your whole family to our More to Life prayer list, as well as giving you some suggestions for how to move forward here.
And Stephanie, I want to assure you of something, which is you didn't just happen to get in the car and hear this. You didn't happen to just go to Mass and start to feel a sense of rightness in the last 2 days. That was God. That is God saying, Stephanie, I love you. I love your son. My mercy is never ending. I am here for you. I want to console you. I want you closer to me. That's what you're experiencing right now. So keep reaching out to God. Keep holding on to him. In fact, I really encourage you to begin praying the Divine Mercy Chaplet. You can look that up on the EWTN website if you've never seen it before, because you need to reassure yourself of his never-ending divine mercy in this situation.
So I want to start with a passage from the Catechism, paragraph 2283. It says, "We should not despair of the eternal salvation of persons who have taken their own lives. By ways known to him alone, God can provide the opportunity for salutary repentance. The Church prays for persons who have taken their own lives." And so even though suicide is a very serious evil, the fact that the things that an individual feels at the time, the confusion they experience, the despair, really mitigates their responsibility, and so we don't despair of the eternal salvation of those who have committed suicide, and you shouldn't either. But I want to clarify one thing that the language that you're using. You know, can you pray him into heaven? The answer is no one can pray anyone into heaven, because getting into heaven isn't within our power. That is something that Jesus gives to us as a free and unmerited gift, and that's why we can have hope that God will save anybody, because it's God's choice to do that. And God clearly shows through the passion, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ that he will go to any lengths to save us if there's any way to be saved. And so we can certainly hope for the salvation and eternal life in heaven for your son, as we can, and you continue to pray for him, but it's not your job to pray him into heaven. And the other thing I want to add here is it's not your responsibility to never commit another sin so that you can be found worthy in the sight of God, and that God would be more likely to hear your prayers. That's not how this works. You know, God loves us even in the middle of all of our sins, and even in the middle of our bad choices. Of course, he wants to lead us out of those things and into a healthier, holier life, but he recognizes that takes time and that takes work, and he's willing to work with us through all of that. And so it's good to do that examination of conscience and say, you know, the Lord is calling me to make changes in my life so that I can not so that I'm not going to be punished, but so that I can experience the real love that he wants for me. You know, and stop settling for less in my life, but really open my heart to the kind of love and to the kind of life God wants to give me. But that doesn't mean it has to happen overnight, and it doesn't mean that if you don't do it overnight that somehow God's going to hold your son accountable for it. I just want you to let yourself off that hook, because God does not put you on that hook. All right, so Stephanie, there's so much more I wish I could say to you, but I'm so glad that you're receiving counseling. I'm so glad that you're attending Mass again. I want you to keep doing those things. You're going to get a little bounce from it right now, but in a couple of weeks, maybe you might have a bad day where you feel like, none of this works. This is all I was misled. You know, keep it up. okay? Because you're going to have that up and down. But keep up the spiritual discipline. Keep up the counseling. Keep doing the things that are helping you be healthier and lead a holier life. And keep praying for your son with the confidence that God loves you and God loves him, and that God has ways that we don't know of that he can save people, even when they make terrible choices. And Stephanie, I want to thank you so much for your call. If there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out to us here on the show or through CatholicCounselors.com. But please do continue working with your counselor, and please do continue attending Mass and the sacraments and getting the support that you need as you grow in healing. And we've added you and your son and your whole family to our More to Life prayer list. With that, we have to go to break, but when we come back, more with your calls on our show titled People Pleaser Problems. Are you always saying yes, even when you're burning out, or maybe should say no? We'll help you discover grace-filled ways to know how to set those limits. 877-573-7825. Back in a minute.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today's show is titled People Pleaser Problems. And we're talking about the struggle that a lot of us have in setting boundaries, saying no, telling other people what we need, asking for help. You know, we want to be generous to others, but it's sometimes hard to know how to do that and allow others to take care of us. In fact, I talk to a lot of people in the pastoral counseling practice that really struggle with that idea that they should never let other people take care of them or never let people know what their needs are because somehow that's not Christ-like. Of course, that's not true, but it is hard to find that balance and to know what it means to be, well, to have good self-care without being selfish. 877-573-7825. We're taking your calls on finding the cure for the disease to please. But before we take our next questions, we want to send out a favor. Speaking of asking for our needs.
There you go. And we really need to mention this, especially if you are listening to us in Ohio. Your EWTN radio station needs to hear from you next week. St. Gabriel Radio will be airing their fall fundraiser starting Wednesday. So if you're listening in Columbus, Portsmouth, Athens, please support St. Gabriel Radio.
And wherever you're tuning in, make sure that you're supporting your local EWTN Catholic radio station with your prayers for sure, but with your dollars as well. Let's keep EWTN Catholic Radio going strong for decades to come, so we can keep supporting you and all those you love and living a more faithful, joyful, and abundant life.
You know, we need to do this so much to keep these wonderful affiliates on the air, to support EWTN, because as the world seems to get crazier and more confusing, we need a place to land, to connect with God, to hear truthful news from a Catholic perspective, and to have people to turn to guide us through our faith and our life, minute by minute. I know it's a resource that I turn to consistently, and I hope that you accept that invitation as well, and remember to support your local station and EWTN Radio entirely.
Well, today's show is titled People Pleaser Problems, and we're talking about the challenge that we all have, I think, to know when it's okay to ask other people to help us, or to assert our needs, to say no even when we might disappoint other people. If you feel like you're always giving in to others, but no one really gives back, if you feel like you've gone along with what other people want just to keep the peace, even though you knew it wasn't really best for you or them, or maybe you sometimes wonder if people would still love you if you stopped doing so much for them, or you struggle to say no even when you should. If so, give us a call. We want to help you find the cure for the disease to please. You know, and as we've been talking about through this program, I think a really important insight from the theology of the body, and this really kind of sunk in on a deeper level for me today as I was kind of reflecting on this, that building the kingdom of God means working to do our best to cooperate with God's grace to make sure that our relationships reflect that mutual self-giving relationship that's between the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who are, as St. Bonaventure said, always pouring themselves out for each other, but never running dry, because the other two persons of the Trinity are filling that one bucket up again. So let's work on making that happen so that we can be a witness to the kind of love that God wants the whole world to live in. Taking your questions about making that happen in your life, 877-573-7825.
He was a doctor of the church, a Carmelite, and one of the most famous mystics of all time.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. John of the Cross wanted to help all Christians to become saints. One of his most important teachings was to encourage us all to learn how to love. For there is no love, he said, put love, and you will find love. He died in 1591.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
Hello, Steve Ray here from Footprints of God Pilgrimages. The land of our Lord and our Lady is calling us. We're heading back to the Holy Land over Christmas break this year. We have the best, most reliable guides and services awaiting us. The holy sites are open, and the local Christians are anxious to see us. Galilee, Jerusalem, Nazareth, Bethlehem. No crowds, no lines. Hope you can join us.
Find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at avemariaradio.net.
Strained or broken relationships are a given in most of our lives. Friends fall away, siblings drift apart, children sever ties with their parents, and despite our best efforts, these painful fissures are difficult to mend. Hi, I'm Dr. Ray. If you want to learn how to communicate better with the difficult people in your life and be a more easygoing, more forgiving person, check out my book, How to Get Along with Almost Everybody. Check it out. And all my other books on the store page at avemariaradio.net. That's avemariaradio.net.
Maybe you've been hearing a lot about the need to make a spiritual communion while participating from home in a live-streamed or broadcast Mass. There's more to it than reciting the act of spiritual communion. We should begin by having sincere repentance for our sins and affirming our belief that Christ's death redeemed us. Next, we call to mind the spiritual gifts found in Christ's sacrifice and thank God earnestly for them. Now we are disposed to pray the traditional prayer of spiritual communion. Jesus, I embrace you and unite myself wholly to you.
Hi, I'm Lisa Popchak. Do you want to influence your adult kids? Make sure that the relationship you have is deep enough to contain the conversations you're trying to have. Sometimes a relationship, though pleasant, can be too small to comfortably fit the big questions we want to discuss. Trying to have deep conversations in a shallow relationship is like buying a couch that's twice as big as your living room. It might be a great couch, but trying to make it fit is going to be awkward at best. This is why it's so important to work harder on your relationship with your adult kids than on the things you want to say to them. The more you focus on building a deep and loving relationship with your adult kids, the more likely they'll be to accept you as a mentor. To learn more, check out our book, Having Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Your Adult Sons and Daughters, or visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Welcome back, folks. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, people pleaser problems. You know, we all struggle to know how we can be both generous to others and still get our needs taken care of, you know, without being selfish about it. It's possible, but it's also hard to figure out. So let's talk it out. 877-573-7825. Do you ever feel like you're always giving to others, but not really getting back to the degree that you need to? Maybe you tend to go along with what other people want just to keep the peace, even though you know it's not really best for you, or maybe even for them. Maybe you struggle to say no when you really should, or feel resentful or burned out from doing so much for others, and you wish you could find a healthier balance, but you're just not sure what that would even look like. I know moms struggle with this especially, but you know what? Dads do too, because we're not sure how to take care of all the people in our lives in ways that are healthy and good. It's a universal struggle. So if you're having a hard time knowing how to set those boundaries or overcome that tendency to people please, let's talk it out together. 877-573-7825.
Well, Greg, Emily in Kansas has a question for us. She says, I'm a mom of two little ones. My daughter is 6 and my son is 3, and I really want to do a good job raising them, but I'm running into a tough situation with my mom. She lives close by and loves spending time with the kids, which is wonderful. The problem is she wants to come over all the time, and I feel so guilty saying no. I know she just wants to be involved, but sometimes it's overwhelming for me, especially when I'm trying to keep up with the house, the kids' schedules, and just having some family time with my husband. What makes it even harder is that when my mom is here, she often undermines me. If I try to correct the kids or set a boundary, she'll jump in and tell me I'm just being too strict or expect too much. Sometimes she even sides with the kids and encourages them to do the opposite of what I just asked. I end up feeling frustrated, second-guessed, and like the bad guy. How do I set limits with my mom without feeling like I'm being selfish or ungrateful?
Well, thank you, Emily, for the question. And you know, and you're right. It can feel like a good problem to have, right? Because very few of us have family around anymore,
That's for sure.
We feel guilty complaining about it whenever we have support from our parents.
They did so much to raise us.
They want to be there for our kids, you know, and that's a great thing. But the concerns you have are absolutely appropriate, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with setting those boundaries, even if your mom, you know, gets a little bent out of shape about it. And hopefully she won't. But let's talk about how to do this. I think it is absolutely fine, right, to do, let's say, two things. I'm going to address two parts of this. The first part being her coming over so much, and the second part being the undermining piece. So, and I'll do it in that order. So as far as the coming over all the time bit, it's not so much. I mean, it is how often she comes over, but it's not as much that as it is maybe the way she's coming over and what she does when she's there. So I would start by asking yourself and maybe communicating to her, you know, how she could contribute when she comes over. So if there are certain activities that you want to be doing with the kids that she could help with, that'd be great. If you want her to help clean up some things around the house while you're attending to the kids or getting some time with them, or you need her to take them while you attend to something else, be more directive about what you need from her when she comes over. That's number one. Number two, it's okay, even if you're doing that, to say that there are certain times when it's not okay for her to come over.
Well, and in all honesty, you know, you're saying that the kids are 6 and 3. This is a time where you can just say to her, hey, Mom, they're 6 and 3 now. We're having to have real schedules. I appreciated how much you were around when they were in their infancy, but now there's school involved, there's scheduling involved. They need a steady schedule every day in terms of, you know, bedtimes, meal times, all of that. and I'm putting in a plan. Don't ask. Just say, I'm putting in a plan for how our lives are going to be going. And then say to her, okay, and you pick, what are the days or one day of the week where it would be helpful to have her around? Mom, if you really want to help me, if you're home during this time, this is completely arbitrary, you figure out what works for you. Mom, well, they're in school during the day. I would love for you to come over so we can have a cup of coffee and then tackle the house together. But when they come home, I need to be able to be alone with them, give them a snack, and move them on for the rest of the day. So let's do that between, you know, 11 and 1. If that works for you, great. If not, you know, we can try to figure something else out that will work for me. Saying to her, you know, when we do such and such, this is what I need from you, and please remember to back me up because I have to start teaching them who to be. But being kind, being welcoming, but setting limits around it.
If she shows up at times other than what you've said that she can come, it's okay to meet her at the door and say, hey, Mom, I'm so glad to see you. Now is not a good time. That's why I asked you to come at these times instead. So please come back then, okay? I'm sorry. And then it's done. You're not asking her permission if that's okay. You're saying, this is the way it has to be. I'm really sorry you I'm happy to see you, but I'm really sorry you took the time to come now because this just isn't going to work. So be clear about that. The second part of it, though, is even more important, where you feel like she's undermining you with your discipline with the kids. I would say to her, I would let it go in the moment because you don't want to fight with her in front of the kids. Okay, but afterward, you know, maybe when she gets home, you give her a call. And it's important to just say, hey, Mom, you know, I love you, and I'm really glad that you want to be part of the kids' lives, but I can't have you undermining me in front of the kids. If you have questions or concerns about something or you want to share some advice, I'm happy to hear it if you can pull me aside and we can talk about it some other time. Like I'm talking to you now. I didn't fight with you in front of the kids, although I was really upset when you countermanded me in front of them. But I didn't call you out on it in front of the kids. But so if you want to talk to me about something, do it like this. And I'd be happy to hear what you have to say. That said, it's got to be my decision. And you have to respect that, even if you disagree with me. Because if you keep doing what you did today, I can't have you come over at all. Because I can't have you undermining me with the kids and what I'm trying to do to bring the best out in them.
You know, Emily, as we were discussing when we were talking about how the theology of the body applies to this people-pleasing situation in everyone's lives, Greg was talking about the difference between working for love and from love. And at this point, when your mother starts, you know, contradicting you about what you're correcting your children with or how you want to run your family because you are now the queen of your home. She is no longer that person and she needs to step aside and be that partner with you in doing this or that helper with you, but not, you know, dethrone you in some way. And it seems to me like she is working for love. She wants your kids to love her best. She wants to make you need her badly so that she isn't dethroned from your life, that she feels as important as she always felt when you were their age. And you need to not take that on yourself and start working for her love by not being the woman of God that God is calling you to be in your marriage and family life. And the way to stop that pattern for yourself, for your kids, but also for your mom, because it's not too late for her to learn these new skills, is by gently, kindly, but firmly setting these limits and letting her know, Mom, we love you, but if you want to be in this situation with us and experience all this love we have in this family, you have to allow me and my husband to be the ones to be parenting our children and deciding on how this family runs.
And it's really important to remember that when we're setting a boundary, we're not asking the other person permission. We're not asking them to agree with it. You don't have to try to convince her to see your point of view. You just have to be clear in your own head that this is what's best for you and the children. And it's your mom's job to support that. That's a grandparent's job. It's a grandparent's job to support their kids in raising their grandkids. It's not a grandparent's job to come between their kids and their grandkids. Even when we disagree with what our kids might be doing, I mean, we can talk to them. You know, like I said, just like I suggested you talk to your mom separately, respectfully, you know, out of earshot from the kids. But we can't ever undermine you know, the way our kids are raising the our grandkids in front of the grandkids, that's just that.
It's just out of order in God's order. So,
all right, thank you so much for the question, Emily. If there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out to us here on the show. We also talk about healthy boundary setting in our book. God help me, these people are driving me nuts, making peace with difficult people. I really talk about how to set charitable boundaries in there that allow you to be generous, but still set the kind of boundaries that need to be set for you to have healthy relationships with the people around you. Thanks again for the call. 877-573-7825. Today's show is titled People Pleaser Problems. Are you always saying yes, even when you're burning out or maybe ought to say no? We want to help you find grace-filled ways to cure the disease to please. 877-573-7825. And as we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from 1 John chapter 4, verse 18.
There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. We love because he first loved us.
And we chose this verse because of what we were talking about with the difference between working for love versus working from love. When we are working for love, that is, quote-unquote, love driven by fear. But it's not the love that comes from God's heart. When we're working from love, we know that God loved us first, and then we want to share that love with others. And we know that God does love us, and that we are beloved sons and daughters of God who are deserving of love. And so the service we offer comes from a place of true generosity, not with an even implicit price tag that says, well, I'm doing this so that you'll give back to me, or so that you'll like me, or so that you'll keep me around. When we work for love, we're rooted in fear. And that is not what God is calling us to. And so, as you reflect on the tendency to people please, whether that is a character trait for you or just something that you fall into once in a while like all of us do, keep that in mind. You know, loving somebody really means working for their ultimate good, not just keeping the peace, not just going along to get along, and not doing what you think you have to do to get somebody to love you, because you deserve to be loved just for who you are as a beloved son or daughter of God. 877-573-7825, taking your questions when More to Life continues on our show titled People Pleaser Problems. Stick around for more after the break.
Concentration camp survivor Elie Wiesel once said, "To forget murder victims is to kill them twice." 65 million unborn children have been killed by abortion. A small fraction of these victims are buried in human cemeteries. Let us honor them at the graves and memorial markers Saturday, September 13th, the National Day of Remembrance. See all locations and times at nationaldayofremembrance.org. That's nationaldayofremembrance.org.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more. The following program is brought to you in part by MyCatholicWill.com. Surveys show that more than half of Americans do not have a will. At MyCatholicWill.com, it takes as little as 15 minutes to write your will and secure a legacy of faith. MyCatholicWill.com is the exclusive online destination for creating a Catholic will. The process of writing a will is simple and now more accessible than ever. MyCatholicWill.com, a legacy of faith for those you love.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is titled People Pleaser Problems. As we talk about the challenge of setting boundaries, saying no, expressing our needs and concerns, you know, how can we get over the guilt we often feel in doing that, especially when we know that we're called to be generous to others, and we want to do that, but not to the degree that we're doormats or somehow being taken advantage of. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Jim, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Ohio.
Hi, Jim. Welcome to Word to Life. What's going on?
Good morning, folks. Thanks for taking my call. It's interesting, Dr. Popchak, that you just mentioned guilt, because I think that's probably what I feel about, just not saying anything in order to get along.
Mm-hmm. You know, I've got a, so what's a going on? You told our screener you have a work situation with an employee and your partner.
Well, it's not really an employee. I want to preface it by saying that we just have a wonderful business. We've been eminently successful, and he's a wonderful partner, very, very bright, just a great guy. It's been wonderful, but there's a young man who started inserting himself into our office about 8 years ago. I think he met my partner through their children or something, and he started out by just wanting to hang around, and now he hangs around. Well, he's got a kind of a position in the office there, but anyway, he doesn't bring anything to our business. He just uses my partner, to advance himself. He sees himself kind of as an influencer and wants to use my partner's reputation and position to advance himself, and it bothers me a lot, but I'm not going to blow my business up, to have an argument about it. Does that make sense?
I guess so. So are you asking how you can bring these concerns to your partner?
I'm also a bit confused, Jim, because at least what's on my board here says that this guy, who I'm not sure is or is not a paid employee at this point, is wasting a lot of money from your company. So go on.
No, he's not an employee. He's just kind of an associate who wants to insert himself into our business, and he's slowly creeping in, I'm afraid. But
he doesn't have any official role to play?
No, not inside our business, no. But, his...
So what what are you afraid of him bringing up? Because it seems like it seems like a pretty straightforward thing that this guy doesn't really have any business being in your business, right? What do you think would happen if you talked to your partner about needing to have clearer boundaries here?
Well, he would tell me that he does help. I guess it's a difference of opinion on whether he contributes anything or not. I don't believe he does. Probably my partner does. Well,
Your partner would say that he helps how, though?
Just with ideas and...
Okay, so that's something that your partner can do on his private time. So those are conversations that your partner could have with this guy, getting a drink after work. If he really wanted to have that conversation, and then he could bring those ideas to you, and the two of you could decide those things together. But this guy doesn't have any place in your office, being part of business decisions with you, and it's a fight worth having, Jim. I mean, I think that it's okay to say, look, I don't want to tell you what to do with your life. You can have whatever friends you want, but this is business, and this guy does not have a part to play in this business, and it's improper for you to have him here. If you would like to have, if you like to talk with him after work or whatever and get ideas from him about some things.
Or even bring him in once a month for us to have a consulting day with him, have lunch once a month and he can give us his consulting ideas, but then he needs to not be here so we can run the business.
I would say I would agree with you on that, but he's not an employee. He really does not have any right to be part of the business at all. And I think,
but I'm honestly, saying if the partner,
and I think that's even a concession,
it's so
that
it?
it's not worth offering because
then it gives him too much power.
Exactly. Yeah. So I'm sorry to disagree with you about that, but
no,
I just feel that
good perspective.
Yeah. So I really think this is one where you need to draw some clear limits. And I know that you don't want to rock the vote, you don't want to blow up the business, but it wouldn't make sense for your partner to blow up the business over this. Right, you know, we often be like, well, I hear this a lot in marriage, for instance. Well, if I set this boundary with my husband, that would blow up the whole marriage. I mean, if the marriage is engaged in really unhealthy behaviors, then the only loving thing you can do is say to your husband, hey, this is unhealthy, it needs to stop. If he blows up the marriage because of that, that's his choice, but you're working for the good of the marriage. Same thing that's true here. You're making a perfectly reasonable request and saying, this is what it would take for us to have a healthier partnership and to manage business in a healthy way. If your partner decides to blow up everything because he doesn't want to have a healthy relationship with you or a healthy business, that's kind of on him, not you.
Well, I think you're making a really important underlying point there. When you have a marriage where somebody suddenly does something and the other spouse has to say, hey, I'm making a big boundary, there's usually a lot of stuff that hasn't been done ahead of time. So, Jim, I'd like you to take to prayer, what do you need to do to shore up your business, shore up your relationship with your partner? Are you having weekly meetings where you're going over whatever the business needs in terms of care and attention from both of you? Are you getting time with your partner to shore up your relationship without this other guy around? Do you have all your ducks in a row with the business so that one person being around, or in this case, no longer being around so much, doesn't rock the boat so much because you and your partner are really on a firm foundation, and you really might want to be looking at that, solidifying that relationship and how the business is going hardcore before you worry about this one guy. And then when it's time to worry about him, you know that the two of you are in good stead together, you and your partner.
And it's very important to work on make sure that the relationship with your partner is good. But when it comes right down to it, business is business.
Yeah, and if you're saying it's been a great relationship all this time, it's just this guy, well, then trust your partner and bring it up.
All right, Jim, I wish there was a simpler way through this, but I just want to I want you to leave the call feeling affirmed that it would be right for you to stand up for, you know, what's appropriate here. You can't interfere in your partner's relationship, personal relationship with this guy. And, you know, like I said, you could suggest that he talk about these things off work hours or, you know, off this off-site. But the guy has no business being in the office unless he, you know, is invested in the company or is an employee of the company and you've given him that right. He's got no business being there. So it's absolutely appropriate, regardless of how your partner will react, for you to set some of these boundaries. Jim, thanks so much for the call. We do talk about this more in my book, God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People. You know, we've been talking today about this whole idea of people-pleasing, and how do we know when it's okay to ask for our needs or raise concerns, especially when other people will be upset about it? The thing we need to keep in mind, and this is the only thing that matters, It's that are we doing what we believe is necessary for the good of the relationship, for my good and for the other person's good? If I really think that what I'm proposing is good for them, good for me, and good for the relationship, that's all that matters. And if that person is healthy or is open to God's grace, they'll work with us through that. You know, maybe they'll raise certain things that we weren't aware of, or bring in certain information that we didn't know, and we can have, and the conversation can evolve from there. But we have to assume that the other person wants to be healthy and holy too. And even if they don't, right? Because as Christians, it's still our obligation to offer them the invitation to be healthier and holier. And they can always reject it, but that doesn't mean that we shouldn't extend the invitation. And so that's the only thing we have to be concerned about. Not how are they going to take it, not whether, you know, if they get mad, what will happen. That's all on them. Our job is just to serve God by prayerfully determining what we genuinely believe is best for the other person, best for us, and best for the relationship. And then we have to act on that. That doesn't mean we force our agenda down somebody else's throat, but it means we aren't afraid to speak what we believe is true in charity. And then trust God to work through the process from there. And that's how we can overcome that disease to please. Because we, as St. John Vianney put it, make sure that the only audience we are concerned with pleasing is God and his angels. With that, we got to wrap up the show, but thanks so much for tuning in today. And if there's more we can do to support you in overcoming that disease to please, reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com, where we can hook you up with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your marriage, family, or personal life in the light of God's grace. And again, that's CatholicCounselors.com. Thanks so much for tuning in. Remember that with God's grace, there is so much more to life. Have a great day.
More to Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. For copies and downloads of this program, and for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.